everything I need. Good morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest, your only live, interactive, progressive morning show covering the news that you won't see in the mainstream media. We don't have those corporate overlords telling us what to say. So thanks to the many thousands of you who join us here every morning. I really appreciate it. We are live Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And thanks for suffering through with us as we've been building out the new studio. There's a lot more to come. Really excited about everything we are adding in. So good to see you. Coming up on the show today, Mitt Romney and Tom Cotton roll out a very laughable Republican-sized minimum wage bill. So, as I said, imagine your current poverty level minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour, and then go ahead and replace that with another poverty level minimum wage bill. When every analyst says even $15 minimum wage is barely above poverty level.
But well, I was going to say by the time $15 minimum wage rolls out in 2025, that will be the case.
Right. Yeah, so let's go as small, in fact, in reverse as possible. Yeah, we got to wait till 2025 by that way that minimum wage would incrementally go up anyway. We're going to hear from Bernie Sanders on the show today about that. We're going to hear from the Republican plan, which is pretty laughable. Just shaking my head laughable. Plus, we'll have a stimulus update for you. Big deal on the stimulus plan as we are now about 24 hours away from the House of Representatives passing stimulus plan. So we're gearing up here, folks. Republicans are lining up against the plan, the $1.9 trillion package. They say, of course, that it's filled with Democratic pet projects. Filled with pork, they say. How dare they? Because Republicans, you know, are the standard bearers. They absolutely never put any pet projects in their bills. We salute you, Republicans. I look up to you. And an American Airlines pilot witnesses a UFO. And we're going to play the air traffic control tapes, which are pretty astounding. American Airlines is now saying, yep, it's a UFO. And if you have any questions about it, call the FBI. So they're speaking publicly about it. Times are changing. Pilots never used to talk about it. They'd be ridiculed. But things have changed. I'm going to play with you an interview that I did with President Obama's pilot of Air Force One, who had a UFO tracking Air Force One in flight. We'll play that interview for you a little bit later in the show. So thank you, everyone, for subscribing to the channel, smashing that bell notification. That's how you can do it. If you're interested in seeing that video, smash that like button. And thank you for supporting independent journalism. Good to see everyone this morning. So David says, in the chat today, we might have a special guest who pops up. So keep your eye on the chat if you're watching. He has?
Yep.
Oh. You see. Oh, yeah, we have if you're watching the replay, you have to check out the chat because we have a special guest who's in the chat today. Exciting. But first, let's tell you, before we get to the stimulus news today and our updates on minimum wage and our UFO story, I want to tell you about our friends over at Atomic Social. Now, you know, there's 60,000 web searches that happened every second. And if you've got a business right now that's trying to compete and you're on like the second page of Google, give me a break. 75% of people never scroll past the first page of Google. In addition, there's no purpose in driving traffic to a website that does not convert to traffic sales. That's why it's crucial to have a responsive website design. These guys will make sure of it. So whether you're a local business looking to drive foot traffic to your store, a small or medium-sized business looking to rank on Google, Atomic Social has a custom-tailored solution for you. They can help any business with a website. And if you don't have a website, guess what? They can help with that too. So Atomic Social offers flexible SEO and website packages that are focused on building a strong foundation for your online success, offering countless ways to reach your target customers wherever they are searching from. So contact their team of experts today for a free SEO or website consultation and start planning your digital roadmap for success. They've worked with hundreds of companies. You can go right on their website and check out some of their great website designs they've done. They're an industry-leading marketing firm that specializes in search engine optimization. And today, folks, they are going to give away $500 in Atomic Social credit to any of my viewers to use towards any of their services. $500. And I know many of you have taken them up on this, and that is fantastic for you to take your business to the next level. So if you've been wanting a new website or updated website or SEO-driven traffic to your website, let them know you came from us. Receive $500 credit All you have to do is click on the link on your screen and you'll be taken to this page, which is a calendar booking page, and you'll get a free 20-minute phone call with them. So go to morninginvest.com/atomic. Morninginvest.com/atomic. Pick the date and time that works for you and jump on the phone for 20 minutes, totally free. So we really appreciate their support of the show. Just to clarify, they're giving away a totally free consultation where they will get you on the phone, walk you through a custom strategy for your business, but they're also providing you with $500 to use towards whatever service is best for your business. Awesome, sawsome. Thank you, Atomic Social. Really appreciate that. I really appreciate them. Let's talk about the news now. So the House of Representatives, do a stimulus update for you, because the House of Representatives, folks, we are nearing about like the 24-hour timeline here. They're going to vote on President Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package on Friday. We thought it might come on Sunday. It's going to happen tomorrow. But we still don't have the full details of what's in this package. But that's not stopping Republicans, though, from pulling out their sanctimonious spending card. Do you have a sanctimonious spending card? How many of you are sanctimonious when it suits you? Well, that's what Republicans are doing now. They're saying, we can't believe that Democrats would put in Democratic pet projects to funnel money to Democratic stimulus projects. Yeah, it's shocking, I know. And they're vowing to fight it every step of the way. Here's Rand Paul, who popped up on television last night with his curly little tuft of hair. Says schools reopening need to be a major part of this. Look for his little, I think it's like a little, it's like a little carrot sprout.
But first, let's walk through this bill. Would you say 20% of it or 25% of it is COVID related? I know there's a whole host of things.
Would you say that almost none of this is COVID related, Rand? I mean, you could really look at this and say, oh, stimulus checks for people, that's not COVID related. Oh, unemployment benefits, that's not COVID related. So you're specifically just talking about vaccine distribution? Oh, yeah. I know I'm on a favorable network when I can just laugh and chuckle with you.
Have nothing to do with COVID in this bill.
Well, here's the thing, Maria. Eventually, they'll let us read it, but probably with an hour or two to go. So at this point, we don't know exactly what's in it, but the rumors rumbling around is that every wish list, every sort of thing the Democrats want to put on the Christmas tree is going to be in there. Some of it will have to do with COVID, but the bottom line is we don't have $2 trillion sitting around here, so it's all going to be borrowed. You know, the idea of stimulus or bailout, you know, it's the seen and the unseen. You'll see the money you get and you like it. And you ask people, do you want money? And they say, we want money. But people don't see the unforeseen complications of this down the road, what it does to our currency, what it ultimately does to our economy. So it's a big mistake. Even if they say it's for legitimate purposes, at this point, I think really if you want to fix COVID, you open the economy. It's on the decline. I think we're really rounding the bend now. This is not the time to put the country further into debt.
Yeah, so just open the economy. That's how you solve COVID. You just open up everything again. That's how you solve it. Did you? I don't know if you caught the fact that just the other night we passed 500,000 people who died from COVID-related illnesses. You combine World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War, and this beats that. Only the Civil War has more deaths in American history than COVID. But did you hear what he said? He said, even if it's legitimate things, I still wouldn't support it. We don't have the money. But Republicans have no problem funneling billions of dollars to oil and gas industries, defense contractors, Raytheon. If you can funnel money to people building bombs, I'm all for it. But if it's to help the American people, and if it's to help even, you know, going down that list of things like building infrastructure and transit systems that help people, so they're not stuck in traffic in San Francisco for 2 hours trying to get to and from work. But imagine, you can actually take a train. Yeah, I know it might not necessarily be vaccine related. And yes, there's definitely going to be fat in this bill. Of course, there always is. No shock. As long as this fat helps people. But now is not the time to be austere, saying that we can't spend money. We've heard from Janet Yellen. We've heard from Jerome Powell. We've heard from the European Central Bank. We've heard from the International Monetary Fund, who've all said, because of historically low interest rates right now, we have the ability to provide stimulus and be able to worry about deficit spending later. But again, it's okay to get into deficits when you want to fund, spend $4 trillion funneling it to Wall Street. Then Republicans are fine with that. Meanwhile, the Biden administration says the package is the right size. And the economy needs relief on that scale in order to bring down, of course, this real unemployment numbers. And the Federal Reserve estimates those to be around 10%. It's not 6%. Oh, and probably even higher than that, upwards of 20% if you take all the people out that literally have been pulled out of the system altogether. Steve Scalise, another Republican, came out to the microphones yesterday, sauntered out. No mask, of course. It's anti-mask. And wants to make sure everyone knows that, look, the only way to get this economy rolling again is to open up and make sure schools are all open. So we'll fact check what he has to say here about the size and breadth of this package.
House Republicans have consistently fought to help those hardworking families that are struggling, whether they're trying to...
Oh, yeah. First of all, House Republicans have consistently fought to help you. Do you buy that? House Republicans have consistently fought to help you. That's how he opens it.
Get back to work, trying to have their businesses reopened, or whether they're demanding that their kids be taught in the classroom. Those are the things that we've been fighting for, as well as to fight to get more vaccines in the arms of people. Unfortunately, that's not what we're going to be voting on this week. That's not what this $1.9 trillion liberal wish list giveaway bill does. And that's why we're strongly opposing it. And we're also pushing to expose just what is really in this bill. You know, back during Obamacare, Speaker Pelosi famously said, you've got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. You know, people are starting to find out what's in this bill. And they're also finding out what's not in this bill. They know that this bill does not dedicate real money to reopen schools. In fact, the press secretary for President Biden admitted that over the weekend, that the $130+ billion going to school doesn't even have to be used to safely reopen schools. Even the CBO pointed out more than 95% of that money won't even be spent this year. Parents don't want to wait another year to have their kids safely in the classroom. In fact, the science strongly says that schools need to be reopened, can safely be reopened, and points out the damage, long-term damage being done to our nation's children if they're not in the classroom.
I absolutely agree with that. I think, you know, if we can safely reopen schools, there's been very little evidence of spread in schools. It's actually been an area where we've seen success. So I'm not for having kids having to stay home, especially it hammers those kids who are at the margins in our society, who don't have access to internet. Upwards of 12 million American kids don't have access to the internet. So virtual schooling, it's awful. So how much funding is included in this stimulus package for schools? Well, actually, we want to talk about facts here. The plan contains around $130 billion in funds for K through 12 schools. And that money would then go to school districts to pay for reducing class sizes to accommodate social distancing, improving ventilation systems. So he's wrong about this. I mean, all of these things are included. The problem, even President-elect Biden, before he was president, was talking about how difficult this was going to be. I mean, think about having to retrofit all of these schools so that they have proper ventilation systems. They have like plexiglass in between class. Or we could end up doing like this, you know, just shoving everyone in a tent. Like, this is literally a high school band practice. Just throw everyone in a plastic bubble. I mean, you need to do it correctly. Not sure that these things you could buy at Dick's Sporting Goods are going to protect people. You need to hire more janitors, providing more personal protective equipment. That's included in this bill. So Republicans are wrong that this money is not specifically directly tied to schools reopening. Ventilation systems, getting these schools retrofitted so that they're up and running and not transmitting, you know. I mean, I think about my high school in Pennsylvania, and that building was built in the 1950s. creaky old stairs. In fact, one day we were in history class, and normally we would have been in this room, or we would have been in this one section of the building, and the roof just collapsed. It would have killed everyone in the classroom. Fortunately, we were not in there that day. And part of the old high school just collapsed. You have to retrofit all these buildings? I love how Republicans are now so focused on helping schools, and yet they're not even interested in making sure that schools pay a reasonable wage, making sure that schools have good, healthy lunches for their children. You're so concerned about our children's futures, aren't you, Republicans? Now you're suddenly so concerned. Teachers have to provide their own. I mean, you guys hate the teachers' unions. May I remind you? And teachers' unions have not felt safe going back. So you're not a fan of the teachers' union to begin with. And now you're suddenly throwing your, you know, you want to make sure they're taken care of. So to be honest with you, I mean, the bill would provide $350 billion to state and local governments. That's in this bill. So let's go through this sort of line by line, what's in here. The package includes a third round of stimulus payments to individuals. The current House legislation that is going to pass tomorrow contains $1,400 checks for individuals making less than $75,000 a year. And that would be phased out for amounts with people with higher incomes. Married couples who file taxes jointly can now receive their two $1,400 checks if their combined income is below $150,000. And then children and adult dependents would be eligible for the full $1,400 under this legislation. That is staying in this bill. Those adult dependents, including disabled adults and college students, they weren't eligible in the first two rounds of checks. They are going to be eligible in this round. So that whole chunk is going to total out to $422 billion for stimulus checks. What about unemployment? Those unemployment payments. So enhanced unemployment payments totaling $300 a week are set to expire in March, on March 14th. That's where this deadline has come from. So this House package is, they're running right up against this deadline. Now, these benefits would be extended until August 29th, and they would bump up the weekly amount to $400, up from $300. But again, why not $600? I don't get it. I don't understand what happened to Democrats. Like, they know Republicans aren't voting for this anyway. In the CARES Act that never went anywhere, that Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats passed last year, it was $600 in unemployment benefits. What happened? And what about vaccines and testing? Well, the package contains tens of billions of dollars to facilitate the vaccine rollout. In fact, it allocates $8.75 billion to federal, state, local, and territorial tribe areas, public health agencies, to distribute and administer and tracking of the vaccinations. And the vaccine development would also get a boost. Vaccine development would get a boost around $20 billion. That would go to federal biomedical research for vaccine and therapeutics and manufacturing and procurement, along with another $3 billion for national stockpile of vaccines. Another $25 billion would be spent on testing, contact tracing, and reimbursing hospitals for lost revenue related to the pandemic. I'm glad that they're giving money to hospitals for lost revenue. What about helping the small businesses that are now have totally gone under? The plan would also raise, this is a big piece, and President Biden is hoping that this will be a big part of his legacy. The plan would raise the $2,000 child tax credit. It would go up to $3,000. It's right now for, and it would set the credit at $3,600 for parents of children under the age of six and make parents of 17-year-olds eligible. It would also make the credit fully refundable. So low-income households would get the full benefit no matter how little they earn. So for a household with a four-year-old and a seven-year-old that doesn't earn enough to pay income taxes, the plan would boost their maximum child tax credit to $6,600. That's up from $2,800. It's estimated that could keep, millions of Americans out of poverty. Here's Bernie Sanders on what this would actually mean for the American family. He spoke about this last night.
We are listening to the American people in this extraordinary time of need. 2020 was probably the worst year in American history since the Civil War. People are suffering. They can't feed their children. They have no income, worried about being evicted. Their kids can't go to school. Mental illness is at a record-breaking level because of all of the anxiety and isolation that people are feeling. And we have presented a comprehensive bill, which is not perfect, but goes a long way to say to working families all over this country, you know what? We hear your pain, and we are responding. We're going to get you that $1,400 check for every working class adult. That's a family of four, $5,600 on top of the $600 checks they received last month. That is life and death for millions of families. We're going to extend unemployment benefits until September with a $400 bonus on top of your normal unemployment. We are going to lower, this is an issue we don't talk about enough, Chris. Childhood poverty in America is way, way up there compared to other major countries. This legislation lowers childhood poverty by 50%. We're going to raise the minimum wage to a living wage, $15 an hour. That is why the American people support what we're doing. We're listening to their pain. We're responding.
So Bernie's also talking about, he was answering a question specifically about the popularity of this thing and the stimulus package. So this morning we have a new poll out about it. So the 3 in 4 voters support the $1.9 trillion stimulus package. Let me know in the chat right now, how many of you support a raising of the minimum wage? Smash that like button if you do. Just give me the thumbs up. You click the little button that has a little thumbs up. Don't click the thumbs down. Let me know if you support an increase in the minimum wage. Let me know if you support stimulus checks. And let me know if you support the idea of this child tax credit. All major pieces of this legislation. So right now, this minimum wage is in there. And President Biden, speaking about this yesterday, his chief of staff, Ron Klain, saying the president wants this $15 an hour minimum wage in there. It's got to make Bernie Sanders very happy. That was one of his big points, that when he conceded and gave his voters basically over to Biden, that's the one thing he asked for. I'll give you my voters. I'll give you my support and my endorsement. I just want this $15 an hour minimum wage increase. So that's why this is so popular. 3 in 4 voters backing this $1.9 trillion stimulus among Republicans and Democrats. Even Republicans support it. 34%. You know, I wonder if you asked, you know, it's interesting because like a Republican, and I get emails from you, you guys all the time. People are like, you know, I used to be a Republican. I've now seen the light. I wonder if like we asked Republicans that very same question. Hey, Republicans, I know you don't like to spend money, right?
You have to understand.
Do you support us sending billions of dollars overseas? Do you support us lining the pockets of defense contractors? See, but the way the question is framed is, do you support our troops? It has nothing to do with supporting our troops. It has the effect of lining the pockets of billionaires. That's what it does. Supporting our troops. That's how it's framed. And so Republicans think that when they support defense spending, they're supporting our troops. They're lied to. So what are the hurdles to getting this minimum wage increase through? Raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour over 5 years, which is what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, and it would deliver gradually eliminating the tipped wage. And that's perhaps the most contentious piece of this entire package among Senate Democrats. The House of Representatives has included this increase in its package, and we'll see how far it gets. We are waiting today. We're going to talk more about Elizabeth McDonough in a second. We're going to talk about Mitt Romney's ridiculous minimum wage plan in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Truebill. Now, I got an awesome, awesome testimonial from one of you last night. You sent in this amazing testimonial about Truebill. David uses Truebill as well, right? See if I have it here. Yeah, so Jessica sent in this amazing testimonial. Good morning, Clayton. I'm writing to give an amazing endorsement for Truebill. This company is great. Not only do they give you an option on what you think you should pay them every month, I pay $5 a month because that's what I can afford right now. They negotiate refunds for services you didn't use on accounts that they cancel for you. For example, I pay $14.95 a month for my Audible service from Amazon. I asked Truebill to cancel the service for me because I haven't used it in months and I definitely cannot afford it right now. Not only do they cancel the service, but they secured a $200 refund back into my bank account. I never expected this, and it's been such a godsend this week, especially. Two of my children have birthdays, and I haven't worked since last March because I've been homeschooling them. This little bit of extra money is fantastic and assures that they get a good present this year. I can't tell you how much this means to me and my family. Thank you so much for always offering quality services on your show. I know I can depend on you to endorse things that are legitimate and are out there to help people like me and my family. Thank you to your show. We love Morning Invest and Grover. Thank you again for everything. Thank you, Jessica. So Truebill will help you lower your bills. You like sign in and they'll look through all of the stuff that you're wasting money on. And they can even cancel bills that you didn't even know about. You can save you like $720 just for checking them out. So go right now and try them. Go to truebill.com/invest. Give them a shot.
Well, and Katie was asking, why would you pay for a service when you can cancel them yourself? But the thing is, like, I found services that I forgot I even had from them and canceled them. Like, I forgot I was paying this monthly fee for 2 years, and I totally forgot about it.
Right. Yeah. So they'll do all of that. They'll negotiate it for you, and they'll get you these refunds. And they even say right on their website, like, if you want to go and negotiate these things yourself, great, go and do it. But it's not easy, and they have the contacts to make sure that they can do it with all these big platforms like AT&T and all of these, Comcast and other things. So, you know, it just depends on how much it's worth to you to get hundreds of dollars. It's like giving a dollar to get hundreds of dollars. So check them out. And I've heard that from a lot of you who've been using them and saved a lot of money. So our thanks to Truebill for supporting the show. All right, let's talk about this minimum wage now. I'm shaking my head. We'll get to the Mitt Romney thing in a moment, but the question this morning is, will she or won't she? Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough. Boy, she's dragging her feet, isn't she? She's expected to rule as soon as today on whether or not this $15 minimum wage can be tucked into President Biden's pandemic relief bill. By the way, let's see a picture of Elizabeth. Here she is. She's a well-respected Senate parliamentarian. But even if she rules that it can be included, Democrats are hardly in the clear because Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, told a reporter that she might vote against the entire relief bill if Democrats cut it out of the bill. There are progressives that are saying, I will not vote for this thing unless it's in this bill. And maybe that's why Biden is so ardent about keeping it in there. AOC also poured cold water on the idea of striking a deal with moderates in the party for a smaller wage hike to $11 an hour. She said that's completely unacceptable. $15 is already a compromise. Here's her tweet on that. When members of Congress fight to set the minimum wage below a living wage, they are playing a role in creating and preserving poverty in the United States. The $15 an hour proposal with multi-year phase-in is already a deep compromise. $10 an hour is legislated poverty. The Biden stimulus plan raises the minimum wage to $15 an hour over 5 years, gradually eliminating the tipped wage. And of course, that is a huge part and most contentious piece of this entire package.
Well, then how long does Romney's take?
Exactly. So I'll show you his plan here. So Romney rolled out... You know, and right now, conservatives are not happy about it. So it's like you've got Tom Cotton and Mitt Romney rolling out their own minimum wage plan. And it goes like this. Tom Cotton rolled out a plan to raise the federal minimum wage to $10 per hour incrementally over 5 years. It would be tied to a mandatory e-verify system for employers with stricter penalties for hiring people here illegally. So it would only give these people an increase if they are hired legally and they have to e-verify these people. Here's the bill. It's higher wages for American workers. The mandatory e-verify. Wow. So in 5 years, you're telling me we can get up to $10 an hour? I mean, right now, not one Republican is going to support raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Not one Republican. But yesterday, Mitt Romney and Tom Cotton rolled out their crappy plan to gradually raise the minimum wage to $10 an hour by the year 2025. I mean, can you wrap your head around that? And of course, the biggest piece of this is the, you know, is the E-Verify part. Tom Cotton, senator, said, you know, American workers today compete against millions of illegal immigrants for too few jobs with wages that are too low. That's unfair. In his statement, he said, ending the black market for illegal labor will open up jobs for Americans. Raising the minimum wage will allow Americans to filing those jobs to better support their families. Our bill does both. First of all, let's look at this statement and just laugh at this for a second. American workers today compete against millions of illegal immigrants for too few jobs? That is a bald-faced lie. In what way is an American worker competing with an illegal immigrant for a job? It's not happening. I did a bunch of interviews on this subject, and just in Napa, for instance, at wineries, you know, of course, when Trump locked down on allowing you to get visas to come here to do those seasonal working jobs for the harvest in Napa at the wineries, they relied on this, you know, hand-picked labor to sort through in the sorting machines. Instead of using the sorting machines, they're skilled, highly skilled, and sought after. And season after season after season, those on a visa from Mexico and other parts of Latin America would come and work. Now those wineries ended up having to no Americans want those jobs. Like, we have job openings. No one will take those jobs. No one wants them. They're not competing with Americans. So what do they have to do? They had to buy machines that have these little air puffers in them so that when the grapes come along the thing, it kicks out the bad grapes. So great. Now they're not paying anyone. They had to spend tens of thousands of dollars to buy a machine to do it. You got rid of those jobs. By the way, they're paying taxes. So they're coming here on that visa and they're paying taxes. And they're here illegally, but you got rid of it. But this idea that Americans are scrambling to work in strawberry fields in California, where they're literally out there all day in the sun. This argument has had so many holes shot through it over the years, and I can't believe that like they're still using this as an argument. It's the truth. First of all, there's so many businesses hiring right now. And you mean to tell me that this is a crisis? By the way, the reason this won't fly is because the secret little dirty truth of all of this is that Republicans have a lot of big businesses in their back pocket. And guess what? Those big businesses rely on this type of labor. So the dirty little secret among Republicans is we will publicly talk about this, but our big money supporters rely on this type of labor, and their profits would be slashed if we suddenly put the clamp down.
Well, and for me, this is just more filibustering political theater, because the thing is, like, even the $15 over 5 years, you know, that's still poverty level in so many areas. I mean, it's only, you know, going to help people that are in rural areas and smaller areas where the cost of living is a bit lower. But you look at, you know, places like Dallas and New York and LA and Seattle, you know, all these other places, that's still going to be poverty level wages. So I don't like this whole back and forth argument is just political theater to me, because it's like both of them aren't good.
No, they're all posturing. They want to be reelected. So they want to say that they did something. You know, I brought forth this bill. Now, Democrats wouldn't pass it, but I wanted to raise your minimum wage, but Democrats didn't want to do it. It is political theater. By assigning their names to these types of pieces of legislation, they can pretend that they're actually doing something. But this idea that, you know, this bill is like saving the American worker from these horrible immigrants is garbage. You know, and I come back to AOC's tweet about this very issue, you know, when members of Congress fight to set the minimum wage below a living wage, they're playing a role in creating and preserving poverty in the United States. The $15 an hour proposal with multi-year phase-in is already a deep compromise. $10 an hour is legislated poverty. And by the way, an overwhelming number of states have already moved to $15 an hour or above the federal minimum wage. So states have already taken upon themselves to do it because they realize how bad it is. And many businesses have too. They've had to do it on their own. Here's Bernie Sanders on the idea of the minimum wage and whether or not they're going to be able to work with Republicans.
But I think at the end of the day, every member of the Democratic caucus understands the unprecedented health care and economic and educational crises that we're facing today, understands that we have to work with the President of the United States to make sure that he is successful. Yep. And at the end of the day, I am absolutely confident that every member of the Democratic caucus is going to support this bill, and the Vice President will give us the deciding vote.
You know, so Kamala Harris will be that deciding vote. Where do you come down on this minimum wage argument? I'd love to hear your thoughts about this. Let me know in the chat what you think about this. I'm going to talk UFOs in a second. We've got more news to get to here, but first I want to tell you about our friends at IP Vanish. That's right. You should not have to worry that people are snooping over your shoulder. Secret governments, hackers. With IP Vanish, you have all of this taken care of. It's a virtual private network, VPN for short. VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phones, even those things like the Fire Stick when you're streaming media. You know, you have an anonymous IP address. That means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone. You can circumvent online censorship. I've tried to go to websites that are blocked, and I jumped on a VPN so I could read a news article. Come on. This means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone on the web. They have more than 1,500 servers in 70 locations. So get protection when using public Wi-Fi as well. If you're at a coffee shop or something, remember, with IP Vanish, all of your data is encrypted so no one can snoop on you on what you're doing. So go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest to claim your 65% savings. They're going to give you 65% off with our discount. They have plans starting at $3, $3.49. It's time for you to sign up with our discount. Their current promotional offering, so you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offerings. IP Vanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot. That's more than 6,000 reviews. Huge fan of these guys, and I always use a VPN. Very, very important to protect your online data and browsing. Make sure no one's stealing your personal information. All right, let's talk about this story. American Airlines pilot witnessing a UFO, and it was reported on air traffic control, and once reporters got a hold of this and they caught wind of this, questioned American Airlines about it. American Airlines says, yeah, it happened. If you want any more questions about it, though, please go and speak to the FBI. So we don't know what it was, and it came over top of the craft and then shot off. What was this thing? Now, I'm putting this in context because normally pilots don't talk about this. They get ridiculed. Back in the day, it was an unwritten rule that you just did not talk about this. You keep it quiet. You don't bring up that you saw a UFO. And by the way, every pilot has. I spoke to a Marine pilot just a short time ago who told me, literally traveling up the East Coast of the United States in their F-18s, like a group of F-18s, and they said, what in the world is that on the radar? Traveling in a straight, like, this is not anything they've ever witnessed before. Nothing they know of could travel at that speed and in that line. And said, yeah, I've seen it. Without a doubt. And it would rip the human body apart if they saw it, if they were traveling at that speed. The G-forces and the way that this thing turns and moves would destroy the human body. So here is an American Airlines air traffic control audio. I'm going to play this for you. Take a listen.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
It was not a cruise missile. And they're saying we don't know what it was, but American Airlines is confirming it. This is a new day, because normally airlines would never talk about it. They would never report on this. Pilots would keep quiet about it. And now they're referring you, if you want more information on this, call the FBI, they're saying. And this pilot was baffled over New Mexico. New Mexico, of course, famous for other famous UFO sightings and crashes, like in Roswell. Was it a cruise missile? I don't buy it. This is a cylindrical-shaped object. And we've seen reports of these cylindrical-shaped objects repeatedly over the past few years. In fact, one of them, these particular objects, was tracking one of the Air Force One pilots who were flying President Obama. I had a chance to interview that pilot back when I was in my mainstream media job. And I would get to do these segments from time to time with like arm wringing, and I'd beg my producers to let me do it. Now I have my own show. I can do it whenever I want. But take a look. Here is my interview a few years ago with President Obama's pilot, talking about why this is all like, you don't really talk about this. It's kept quiet. It's not something that pilots talk about often because it's kind of ridiculed. Take a listen.
Not a lot do. This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand. Here to share his almost unbelievable stories, pilot Andy Danziger. Nice to see you this morning.
Good morning.
Now, we should be clear that this incident that you saw happened in 1989. Why did it take so long for you to talk about it?
There was no formal policy at my airline or any airline I've ever worked for that said not to talk about it, but it was kind of unwritten. We were young, we were new in our careers, and the way people tended to be ridiculed about all this, that you just kind of kept quiet.
So this came out during a Daily News interview recently when you were asked about it.
That's correct.
Had you ever seen a UFO? And you responded that you had, and you went into detail about it. So what happened in 1989 on that day?
Unbelievable. We were flying from Kansas City to Waterloo, Iowa. I was just a first officer in a commuter airline turboprop. And crystal clear skies in Kansas City, crystal clear skies forecast in Waterloo. Supposed to be good weather en route, only a couple hundred, 250 miles away. We reached our cruise altitude of 15,000 feet, and all of a sudden we just noticed, you know, we're busy in the climb out. There's little, smaller airplanes didn't have autopilots. It leveled out, and a lot of thin, wispy clouds all around us. And I noticed off to my right, and I was sitting in the right seat, was a white disc, just kind of thin, visible, barely visible behind the clouds, or dimly visible behind the clouds. And it was a little odd, but you know, we were used to seeing a lot of things in the sky, so when you see something strange, you start looking around trying to figure out what it is. And the first thing you think about is the moon, because it looked like it could have been the moon, dimly visible. But the moon was out over here, and it was a crescent. It wasn't a full moon. So it couldn't have been a reflection of the moon.
So this large disk, you described it as being pretty large.
Oh, yeah.
Massive. And then after a while, it was following you.
Or we were following it. It was pacing us.
It was pacing you. Then something unbelievable happened to its shape and its color. It turned into a giant orange ball glowing in the sky.
Yeah. After we'd been looking down for searchlights and stuff from the ground, maybe something shining up on the cloud, couldn't find anything. After about 40 minutes, we started our descent into Waterloo. And as we started our descent and looked up, here's this giant red ball just above the clouds.
Unbelievable.
That was me in my younger days. Unbelievable. So I think, you know, we're entering this new phase now where we're going to start to see more disclosure, more reports. And certainly that was part of that most recent stimulus, which was that anything that the CIA has or DOD on file, they have 180 days to release on UFO sightings. So all of that information, a lot of that information is going to be coming out soon. By the way, I play the full interview. If you want to see more of that interview, I've got a whole other YouTube channel called The Paranormal Post. And I'd love for you to come over and check it out. on the Paranormal Post. It's youtube.com/paranormalpost, where we cover those types of things. In fact, we've got all sorts of stories on UFOs over here. This is what the youtube.com/paranormalpost. If we're going to be, now that we're gotten the new studio up and running, we're going to be doing a lot more of those stories and encounters and interviews. I've got a few really interesting interviews lined up over there. So if you're interested, come on over, youtube.com/paranormalpost, if you are interested in supporting that channel. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Let me check in here on the chat now. How many new channel members do we have today? Good to see our new channel members. Morninginvest.com/join is how you become a channel member. Sunshine Speaks says, I love the Paranormal Post. Thank you so much. And Brooke says, you haven't changed a bit. Yeah, right. I've got a few more gray hairs, and I don't wear a suit anymore. Thank you so much, Celia Ordelius. Thank you, Family Hero Channel. I really appreciate that. Left a kind super chat for you to sign up for our newsletter. Thank you so much. Denise Gibson, thank you for your $10 super chat. Says, how can they justify not raising it to a $15 an hour minimum wage when it hasn't been raised in years? Why not do a means test on what it's like to live on $15 an hour? Even at that rate, there's very little left to live on. Yeah. Thank you for your super chat, Denise. I really appreciate that. Kristen Swenson, thank you so much for your amazing super chat. That's so nice of you. Let's see. Anthony Garman says Republicans keep missing that it is a progressive $15 an hour wage to 2025. Right, again. It's a phase-in of like 5 years to get to this. It's not $15 an hour right now. Hell, Amazon's pushing it. Amazon's already raised their wages to 15, and they're out there pushing and supporting this. Zia Miria says, I have family working those jobs, and there are zero Americans working with them. Zia Mira, I have family working those jobs, and there are zero Americans working with them. We're talking about the immigrant labor jobs, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about. Exactly. So this idea that Tom Cotton says, hey, all these people are competing, all these immigrants, there's millions of illegal immigrants competing for too few jobs. Just look at that sentence again. American workers today compete against millions of illegal immigrants for too few jobs with wages that are too low. That's unfair. What part of that's unfair, Tom? And what part of that's true? It's like a Highlights magazine. Can you figure out what part of that sentence is accurate? Yeah, the part that the wages are too low. But are American workers competing against millions of illegal immigrants to pick strawberries in California fields? No, they're not. Ending the black market for illegal labor will open up jobs for Americans. Yeah. Raising the minimum wage will allow Americans filling those jobs to better support their families. Propaganda. Denise Gibson says, why not name your new studio the Spider's Nest? My son would like that as a big Spider-Man fan. Demo442 says, you guys rock. Clayton and David, thank you for what you're doing. By the way, if you don't hear David much this morning, it's because he is dealing with the new bots in the chat setting up. Larry Nieves says, thank you for your super chat. It's hard to be conservative when you have nothing. Or it's hard to conserve when you have nothing. They need to wake up. How government is stealing what you have. Here in Florida, $15 an hour helps a little bit. Louis B. says, Grover, we love you. He loves you. Thank you so much. He ran away from his... There he is. Thank you. We got a whole bunch of new channel members. So if you want to become a channel member, just go to morninginvest.com/join to do that. And by the way, you can send in any of your pet photos or merch photos to team@morninginvest.com, like Frank did. He got a new social estate t-shirt. And Odin, Teresa in Farmington Hills, Michigan, sent in this picture of Odin. So that's what you can do. Just go to team@morninginvest.com to send in your photos. Appreciate that. See any other super chats? I'm just going through our... Israel Bannerman, thank you so much for your super chat. And Dana Pecoraro, am I saying that right? Became a new channel member. Oh, Israel Bannerman says, who's the special guest today in the chat? It's Grover. So if you saw Grover Morris posting in the chat, he's been popping up from time to time. He's really good on the keyboard. Mike Oscar in the chat says, what happened to any UBI talk with Congress? Oh, I don't know. We haven't heard anything. I think progressives right now are just waiting till this first round of stimulus goes through. Maybe there'll be something soon. I mean, look, $2,000 a month in universal basic income, perhaps, would be nice, absolutely nice. There has been, you know, Representative Ilhan Omar pushing for that. We, of course, had our, we sent it to their office to use, and I'm hoping that they will use it, our petition for $2,000 a month in stimulus for all Americans who would, you know, qualify under that threshold. Jennifer Locke says, I go from the Today Show, then I switch to you, Clayton, in the morning. What a difference. You guys rock. Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah, I mean, Today's Show is great if you want to see a Bobby Flay segment on how to cook a steak. Christina Rothermel says, Americans will not pick vegetables and fruit. That is, I'm laughing too hard. That's ridiculous. Lydia Frazier says, I love the paranormal post. I check it every day to see if it's updated. I can't wait for more. Well, don't worry, Lydia. I promise you. Well, I've got a lot of stories I've been writing and working on. Yes, with the transition to our new studio, it's going to be exciting. I'm really excited about that. Connie P says, I just got IP Vanish. Thanks for telling me. Awesome stuff. Joe Reno says, if you wore a suit, I'd be out. Exactly. There's no way. I love YouTubers that put on suits. They put on a tie. So funny to me. Like, really? I don't understand it. And I love the YouTubers who are like 28-year-olds, 29-year-olds who are not journalists that pretend to be journalists on YouTube, who didn't go to school for it. They don't know what it means to write a story on background, sourcing properly, and they put on a suit and tie. And they pretend that they're journalists. It's my favorite. Rita Combest says, you look like a little kid in that interview. Did I? Let me see you.
Oh, it was.
And there were people, of course, who witnesses on your plane as well, not just you.
No,
at the time.
Do I look that much younger there?
Yeah,
that's
do.
That's probably like maybe a little less weight. I don't know. Plus, I am unshaven. Beauty of doing this show now is like I can do this show and not have to shave. I don't have to wear a suit and tie.
And you can sit in a more comfortable like chair.
Oh my God. That chair in that video was the worst. They were like you couldn't even move in those things.
Captain that was on the plane.
They were not comfortable. Yeah, I guess I do look a little younger there.
Yeah, you look way younger. Look at that smooth
face.
No,
I don't dye my hair. That's a freshly shaven face. Not this one. So, You know, the thing is, yes, I worked in the mainstream media for 20 years, you know, worked at CBS, NBC, and then spent the last 10 years at the network at Fox. And, you know, I was always treated very nicely. And I left and retired in 2017 when I turned 40 years old. And I wanted to be able to do what I want to do and not have to answer to anybody. Cover the stories that I want to. Cover the stories that I think matter to the American people. You know, if you turn on MSNBC, you're not going to see these stories on the progressive side. You're not going to see that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is pushing hard to make sure that we have a $15 an hour minimum wage. You're not going to see her you're not going to see them talking about her criticizing the Biden administration on immigration, wanting to go deeper and harder on immigration reform. It's not going to be talked about. Same with CNN. Totally in bed with the Biden administration. How can you have an honest group of journalists covering those stories if they're fully, you know, fully in bed with those politicians? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't work. So my thanks to all of you for subscribing and supporting independent journalism. By going to morninginvest.com/join is how you can become a channel member. So thank you so much. And hey, if you just want to become a subscriber, that's a great way to support the channel as well. You can subscribe and smash that thumbs up button, like button. Right down here in the corner on YouTube is how you can become a subscriber. And then turn on that little bell notification, because we do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And then that really helps for you to be alerted as soon as we go live. So much love to all of you. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. And we got some great stuff coming here. Thank you again, Kristen Swenson, for your lovely super chat. Very, very kind of you. All of you who participated today in the show, I love all of your feedback. And we will see you bright and early tomorrow morning. Peace out, everyone.